All right, all right, all right.
No.
Come on now. Okay, it's my birthday. I'm going to talk like Matthew McConaughey if I want to. Welcome to another episode of the Wanderlust Podcast. Yeah. We were both on vacation last week, so yes, thank you. We both needed it, so thank you so much for your well wishes. I know you're wishing us well right now because you're like, so much oh, well. That's nice for them that they got to, like, get out of the house for once. Yeah, it was nice. Thanks.
It was super nice, actually.
Yeah.
You know what was great for me is on my vacation, I didn't plan anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I'm going to go see my friends. And they're like, well, you don't have anything planned? I'm like, fuck no. It's the beauty of a vacation for me.
Yeah, just man.
See where the wind takes me.
Exactly. Also, I just realized that, like, you were in Florida and I was in Maine. And we were in the complete opposite ends of the, bloop, of the East Coast. But honestly, what's really hilarious about you saying that, not planning anything, I actually really did try to plan, and it failed epically.
That's why I don't plan, because then it stresses me out.
Well, I also planned for, like, every possible thing that we might want to do, and then we did none of those things.
Yeah. See? No. That's why.
No, thank you.
Yeah. It was funny because my friends were like, so is there anything you want to do? I'm like, I want to hang out. Well, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know what's here. You tell me what we should do.
Yeah, take me out.
Take me out tonight. Oh, that's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No, come till we catch this guy.
This guy, yep. Yeah, also, happy Pride, everybody.
Yes, yes. Welcome to Pride, because in the Western civilization, we're okay, you know, we like to pretend we're liberal, and we do it a couple months a year, and that's what we do. So yes, I am very glad it's Pride. I am very fucking upset about that stupid H&M commercial. Did you see it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, because I don't watch TV. Okay. Like regular TV.
Well, excuse me. I was on vacation, and they have TVs on vacation.
Vacation.
And I was trying to watch some stand-up comedy, and there was a commercial on there where it was like, discover the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And it was literally like a commercial where H&M was like, yeah, if you scan any rainbow, then you'll be brought to our website. Thank you. And we're going to share queer stories because it's June and that's what we do in June. Like, okay, thank you for once again fucking commodifying Pride. Like, can we the fuck not, please? I was literally so enraged when I saw that commercial and I'd been so chill on vacation. Like, everything was going so great. And honestly, not 20 minutes before that commercial came up, I was literally laughing so hard that I was crying and could not even open my eyes. And then all of a sudden I was like, what? They're doing what now?
Sounds like a roller coaster of emotions.
It was so fucking upsetting. So yes, happy Pride. And I'm not trying to dull the glow that is Pride, but fucking let the rainbow shine year round. And also for you and for your reasons, don't let H&M co-opt our fucking Pride Month, because fuck that shit.
Can I read you my funny tweet meme?
Yeah.
This guy named Brian J. Fisher.
No.
Tweeted.
I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're about to say.
Tweeted. No, it was an appropriate response. He tweeted, worst example of cultural appropriation ever, : LGBTs stole the rainbow from God. It's his. He invented it. Genesis 9, 11 through 17. Give it back. And then the response by this wonderful person named Chris Stedman said, one of my favorite things about Pride Month is celebrating the many achievements of the LGBTQ community, like when we collectively stole the rainbow from God.
Oh, Yeah, so those are, that's a tweet that makes me want to die, personally. I want to go and talk to God and be like, excuse me, bitch, like, you know, that was our rainbow, right? And he'd be like, yeah, I fucking know, this guy's an asshole. And I'd be like, okay, cool, I just had to die real quick just so we could have that tete-a-tete.
Just had to make sure. Can you just send me back, please? That'd be great. I found a black and with rainbow pinstripes dress. Well, I was on vacation and got it.
Was it at Target?
No, it was at Torrid.
Oh, well, that's better? I don't know. It makes me really sad. Like, because I want rainbow things, but I'm also like, I don't want to give you money just to show how gay I am. Like, I'm gay year-round, bitch. Like,
but it was, like, the only rainbow thing that I was like, oh, I would actually wear this because it's, like, black with rainbow.
I
was
like, oh, okay. Yes. I do like that. I do like that. I still want to see, like, that split dye job on you where, like, half your head is rainbow and half your head is black. Like, I think that would look sick.
I feel like my job would not like that.
That's stupid. Also, can we talk about how jobs, like, think that hair dye changes your fucking intelligence level or ability to fucking function? Are you kidding me? And tattoos. If anything, that shows that I have endurance, perseverance, and I'm willing to sacrifice blood for hours on end. All right? If anything, that proves that I'm fucking better than the pasty-ass person you got sitting outside. All right?
I'm pretty lucky, though, because, well,
I don't know where this rage is coming from right now.
I know. You're very ragey tonight.
I was so tired all day. I was basically fucking catatonic.
I don't understand.
I had the best day.
No, but, like, so I'm lucky because my job, like, although, to be clear, I also don't ask for permission. I just kind of, like, I'm going to wear my nose ring and show all my tattoos and not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And nobody has commented about it in the last several years, so I'm just going to continue to ride that wave.
Listen.
I've had purple hair, too, for these jobs.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, like, it really irks me when people are like, yeah, we don't want people that look like this. And I'm like, okay. But also, first of all, most people look like this now because it's not 1978. And how about you go fuck yourself? Gently, you know?
Why did you have to add that? I do not like that.
Well, because, you know, the go fuck yourself, it sounds pretty harsh, you know, at first.
Sounds
but
worse
if I say
when you add gently.
Well, I'm sorry. God. But yes, to answer your question, I did have the best day today. It was delicious and delightful and lovely.
Delovely, huh?
Yeah, guys, I just happen to have the best sister ever, and mom, and dad, and everyone, all the beans
but mainly
in my life.
Me,
all
and the other beans. People,
yes.
I guess,
honestly, I feel like it started with you. I don't know if that's true, but they were, like, talking to me about it. Basically, my sister and my friends got together and surprised me for my birthday.
Yeah.
It was so nice. My birthday was so long ago.
It was. She's had, like, a full birthday week and a half.
I sure have. And you know what? La, la, la. Living it up. Yeah, no, that was so unexpected and super fucking cute and fun. And it was just really, and I told them this. I was like, you know, just yesterday, the other day, my mom was talking about how someone drove into our driveway. And she was like, what the fuck is in our driveway? And then she comes upstairs to wake me up and she goes, there's some people downstairs. They say they know you. And I'm like, why the fuck did you let them in the house? But it was a conspiracy to bring birthday happiness, and I can get on board with that.
Conspiracy of joy.
It was a conspiracy of joy, and I was fucking joyous. It was great.
Yes. Oh, and on Emily's vacation, she got to go see the Spite House that we mentioned.
Sure did.
Is it episode 7? I think it's episode 7.
I'm giving her my classic I don't know face.
Pretty sure it's 7. Just scroll through and look for the one that says Spite Houses in the title.
Yeah, I got to go see it, put it up on our Instagram. It was really cute. Those roads are hella narrow. So I can definitely understand how someone would be pissed if, like, a carriage went through that fucking alleyway, because the roads themselves that cars are now parked on and people live in and on, those are the size of carriages. That little alleyway is not the size of carriage. We must have been scraping to get through that spot. So, but yeah, it was super cool. I literally loved Boston. I did not expect to love Boston as much as I loved Boston. And honestly, half the time we were looking at each other like, should we just move to Boston? This seems like where we should be.
I really want to go to Boston, and also, like...
Also, for those of you keeping track, I know that Boston is not in Maine. I'm a two-parter vacation gal. I went to Boston, and then I went to Maine. But continue with what you were saying.
My vacation actually was also a two-parter. I went to Florida, and then I got stuck in Houston for 2 days because of weather and airline troubles.
I was like, I thought you just went to the panhandle. That's fucking sad. And also, what's funny is, like, I was going to call you one of those days that we were coming back, and I was like, oh, no, she's probably at work. And then when you sent me those snaps of you in the airport, I was like, she's not home yet?
No. Guys, this is what happened. So, first... It's summer in Houston, and so I guess there's a bunch of thunderstorms. So when we land in Houston, they kept us on the runway for 2 hours due to lightning because the runway was closed.
So real quick, can we just all vote collectively to call the southeast region of, like, from Texas over to Florida the Thunderdome?
Yes, obviously.
Okay, continue.
So, we got stuck on the runway for, like, 2 hours, and then they let us off the plane, but they did not delay any of the other planes from leaving so that people could catch their connections. So there was probably about, like, at least 100 people, maybe 200 people that missed flights with United. Yes, wow. I'm calling you out, fucking United.
Fuck those guys.
I ran across the airport and tried to catch my flight, but the tram was down, so it took an extra 5 minutes, and we missed the flight. And then I called United to try and see what they could do, get me a hotel and rebook the flight. And they're like, well, your flight's already booked. That's not our fault. The tram was down. And I'm like, but we were also delayed for weather. Like, you didn't hold the flights. And they're like, well, we couldn't. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, so you're not going to, like, credit towards hotel or anything? No, it's not our fault. Cool. So I forked out for the hotel. Everything was booked up because so many people missed their flights. So I finally got to the hotel. I didn't get to the hotel, and I didn't get food. So I ate lunch before I got on my first flight. I didn't get to the hotel and eat food until, like, 12:30 at night. Then my flight was the next morning. It was supposed to leave at 9:45. We were delayed for technical issues for about 2.5 hours. Then we were delayed because of lightning. No.
Yeah, I did see that lightning. That lightning looked hella scary. That was, let me tell you, that was less than 3 miles away.
Oh, that was when I was trapped on the flight line the first day.
Oh, my
God. That wasn't even the second day. And yes, it was scary. And I was thinking about the podcast the whole time, and I was cursing you in my head.
Why did you teach me about lightning?
Yeah, so they kept delaying our flight and saying it would be, like, another hour or another two, like it was an update. Oh, no, it'll be... another hour. It'll be another half an hour. They did this for 8 hours before finally left the airport. And I did not get home until, because I had to drive the 2 hours from Texas to where I live. Mm-hmm. So I did not get home until about 9:30 that night. So I had been traveling for, like, 36 hours at least.
That's insane. I thought the 12-hour layover in Dallas was insane. That is actually insanity.
That is actually insane. And
you weren't catching a connecting flight to Australia, you know?
No. Just trying to make it a couple of states down. So I was just really, you know, really tired and cranky by the end of the day, but I was very glad that I was traveling by myself. And it was funny because everybody was making fun of me because I don't So traveling out of Texas, I don't check a bag. Because generally when I've checked a bag, they lose my bag somehow.
Yeah, they do, though.
So I pack carry-on size suitcase for a week. And my friends are like, how did you do that? And I'm like, I have to. And then with all this trouble, when we got to the hotel, I was so glad I had my fucking suitcase because I had my brush, my toothbrush, my toothpaste, like all of my deodorant, and like everything I fucking needed. And that would have
all been tied up in the airport. Oh, yep. My God.
Yep.
Girl, I brought four bags.
Jesus Christ, why?
Well, excuse me. I'm a one-woman glam team, okay? So I needed a suitcase that was full of shoes and purses and sunglasses. Then I had my garment bag, which had my outfits that were planned hanging on hangers.
Oh, yes.
Then I had my toiletries bag, which is a full duffel bag full of makeup, jewelry, and toiletries. And then I had my backpack / purse, which was like my cargo bag, you know.
Her cargo bag, guys.
Well, like car-go. Like car/go. Like car/go bag. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, because naturally I like changed out my purse every possible situation that I could, because gotta make the best of it, you know? You never know when you're gonna go. You never know when a semi-truck's tire is gonna blow out and decapitate you. Am I right, Mythbusters?
Oh my God. I was gonna say, I thought about that when I was on the way driving back from the airport.
I think about that every day. I'm always like, I could die right now. Why not live life to the fullest?
Yeah.
Could die on the way home every day.
Oh, and then my luck, too. When I was driving home, I was so close to being home. I was like 20 minutes away. And then I got stuck at the railroad tracks for 30 minutes.
Oh, boy. Talk about adding insult to injury. Fucking, that's Salt Bay on the forearm into the wound. You know, that's like a gourmet experience.
And I have a digital tarot card deck, and I pulled, you know, my card for the day, and the card was Temperance.
My face is dead. Like,
it was Temperance for that whole day of, no, we're gonna leave. No, we're not gonna leave. No, we're gonna leave. No, we're not gonna leave. When are we gonna leave? We don't know. Oh, it says that boarding is closed. Did I miss my flight? No, you didn't. When is it gonna go? We don't know. Oh, we're going to let the other flight that's going to the same location that was supposed to leave 6 hours after you leave before you. Like, just constant, like, thing after thing after thing.
You know? Let me tell y'all, God works in mysterious ways.
Does he? Does he? So it was a lesson in, I mean,
patience,
honestly, I don't,
perseverance, yeah, determination, blood sacrifice. Ahem.
Exactly. I don't think, like, because I was talking to some people, and they'd be like, I'd be so pissed. And there were a couple of times where I got angry, but I'm like, I can't spend the whole day angry. There's nothing I can do about it. Like, it is what it is.
See, that's when I hit the airport bar and get a couple G&Ts.
Yeah, so that was my adventure. So today we will be discussing the paranormal and supernatural.
Yes. Today is paranormal and supernatural vibes. Next week is true crime and history. And we will remind you of that at the end of the episode. But yes, what did you have to tell us today? What delicious tales from the...
Why did you make that motion? Because
I was about to be like, what delicious tales from the tip of the East Coast did you have to tell us? But then I was like, that sounds strangely phallic. And also,
like you were...
Whereas, like, you know, summoning it out of the waters like a basilisk, yes.
Or, like, you know, fondling is what I was thinking, but... That's staying in. You're welcome.
I'm an adult. Might I remind you, it's upsetting for all of us. So sorry.
I wish I could control my cackles more, but I cannot.
Can't help it when a hard cat comes your way.
It's... We're so stupid.
Okay, I gotta stop.
Okay, so today we'll be discussing the STT.
STD? Which one?
I know, I just had to say it that way since we were just talking about that. Now, this is
when were we just talking about that? I'm sorry, we were not just talking about that.
I mean, we were talking about external genitalia, so.
When? That's not what I was talking about.
You're such a fucking liar. Look at that lying little face. It's so innocent looking and it's deceiving.
They can't see my face, so.
Yeah.
They can only hear the tone of my voice. Recording videos. And that pretty much tells you everything you need to know. So, yes, STDs you're talking about. They're paranormal and supernatural, apparently.
Ew.
My dick is haunted.
Colorful ways to tell your significant other that you have an STD.
Yeah, if anyone needed any help in that region, they're like, so I went to this castle one time, and
shut the fuck up.
Ever since then, every time I get hard, Adelaide comes out.
Adelaide. That was a good ghost name, too. I like it.
Thank you. Oh, wait. No. I had a good one. Oh, Arietta. Because there's a place in New York called Arietta. And so I was, like, trying to think of, like, a... My name is Arietta Stonewood. I didn't think of it applied until after I said it. And if you swim in the lake I died in, I might haunt your dick. That's not funny. But yes, no, Arietta, there's a place in New York called Arietta, and the whole time I drove by it, I was like talking like this, like, these waters are calm at night, but you should see them at dawn. Your face is so upsetting. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Arietta Stonewood, though. I'm pretty sure Dad told me to name her that. I'm pretty sure. Because I came back from a hike one day, and I was like, we're passing through this town called Arietta, and I was like, oh, that's a good ghost name. I gotta think of a good ghost, like, turn-of-the-century name, like, you know, last name to go with it, where she, like, died in a tragic drowning accident, like, you know. She tried to walk across the water to meet her true love, and she fucking died. And I'm pretty sure he was like, what about Stonewood?
Might as well be fucking Morningwood. Jesus Christ.
All right, that's a little on the nose, Sarah. All right.
Morning stick?
Morningstone.
Morningstone. Yep, that's better.
Arietta Morningstone. At your service.
Ew, God, that voice. Gross. So fucking gross.
So this week, you're telling us about STTs, I hear?
Yes, STT, which stands for the Stone Tape Theory. Mm. So, the Stone Tape Theory.
Stone Tape Theory. What is that about?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. So, I was listening to our favorite podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And this was mentioned as something referenced by the wonderful Zach Baggins. Baggins.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bagel Bites. Yes. Our favorite podcast is ATWWD. But also, we love all podcasts.
We love a lot of podcasts, but yeah, that's a good podcast.
Yes.
So, this is called the Stone Tape Theory, and it's the idea that hauntings aren't necessarily restless spirits of the departed, but instead are energy impressions that are more or less recorded, quote-unquote, onto inanimate objects during emotional or traumatic events, and that can be replayed under certain conditions.
Interesting. That is very interesting.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, I was thinking, I didn't actually realize this is a real theory. The theory. The whole reason I thought of it was, I think we were talking about, the antiques, and antiques, wondering, who had it, or, especially if it's been with somebody for, a long time. Mm-hmm. If there's anything, residual energy or anything, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know there was an actual theory related to it, okay? So, it is generally considered that this is a source of residual hauntings. And residual just means, the replaying of the same event or actions. Could be something big, like a huge battle or intense scene, but it also could just be something as simple as someone walking or doing the same task each time whoever
might see the apparition. Right, walking the same path.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So the stone tape theory name kind of weirded me out. I was like, why is it called the stone tape theory? So it was actually, this theory became popularized by the 1972 movie called The Stone Tape, hence the name. So in this movie, an electronic company moves into an old house and begins renovations, okay? During the renovations, they discover a very old stone stairway. And, with all the renovations and disturbing the house, and it's very old, the stone stairway, strange things start to happen in that room. There are screams, and there's an apparition of a young woman on the stairs that some people see, but recording equipment does not capture it. Only the humans, who specifically, I think, have a psychic or mediumistic ability, can perceive it with their brains. Okay? So, implying that, just us, you could take a picture or video or whatever, nothing's going to show up, but your mind will see it, right? That's where this term came from. However, the general theory, it just wasn't called this, predates that movie in 1972, okay? So, this movie is often related to the work of an archaeologist named Thomas Charles Lethbridge. So he was an archaeologist who left archaeology, or the world of academia, as this one website said, to become a parapsychologist, which sounds like my dream jobs.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right? So in his book called Ghost and Ghoul, he implies that some memories may be connected to inanimate objects via a surrounding of ether. Which sounds interesting.
That makes me think of, Zelda, Twilight Princess, because it's when you were in, the wolf mode, certain things would glow and would have this, aura about them. I'm sure that occurs in many video games, but...
A lot of them. I was thinking specifically of, in Destiny, you can, collect ether. That is this glowing little thing that's used by one of the aliens.
But anyways. Or Animal Crossing, getting little wisps, little parts back. Yes. Why are you shaking your head at me? You're like, ugh, she brought up Animal Crossing again. I'm a real art gamer, okay?
You sure are.
But I really am. Yeah. I don't even actually do the wisp thing, but go ahead.
Yeah, there we go. So, in his book, like I said, Ghost and Ghoul, he states that all cells resonate, which, what does that mean? But basically, it's, they can contain some sort of energy, is basically what he means by that. In a later book, Ghost and Divining Rod, that he published a few years later, he talks about the idea that ghosts are more attributable to invisible fields that recorded an image of a person versus it being, a ghost being a supernatural being. Which, to me, I don't... I don't know how far back people, I should have looked this up, but it sounds kind of like, you know, electromagnetic fields, right? Right,
yeah.
Like, I don't think it sounds that crazy.
Okay. Well, when you say resonate, too, I think of, like, a vibrating frequency.
Yeah,
you know? Exactly. And that's a palpable measurement of energy.
Okay, yes. And so, like, I mentioned it in another episode where it was like, you know, there are radio frequencies that we can't hear with our ears, but if we tune the radio to it, into that specific frequency, we can hear it. Mm-hmm. But just because we don't hear it, does that mean it doesn't exist anymore?
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyways, so that's kind of my little theme for this topic, because it gets interesting.
Nice.
So
it's already interesting.
Oh, good. So he also cited the work of Harry Price, who is a former president of the Society for Psychical Research. Mm-hmm. He's a famous parapsychologist. I will probably cover him at some point, or one of us will, because he's very interesting. But he made similar conclusions. In a presidential address to the Society for Psychical Research.
I know, it sounds like a glitch. Like, when you're reading it, even, I'm like, psychical? That's what you want me, like, to say? Psychical? I have to say that in my brain? Yeah.
Yep, I don't like it. So he says that objects carry memory traces, and if a sensitive person comes to the place or handles the object, the memory traces will cause a person to experience the past memory tied to the object or place, right?
Mm-hmm.
He also mentions a quote-unquote psychic ether, which he says is an intermediate medium between the spirit and psychical world, where images and memories are held. So it's like a intermediate medium between, like, the physical world where we actually exist and, like, the spirit world, I guess. See, or another dimension is also what I was thinking.
Yeah, but that also makes me think of, like, Amit Goswami, he's a professor of quantum physics and quantum mechanics. He literally wrote a textbook on quantum mechanics, and he has a great documentary called The Quantum Activist. And one of his theories, it's so good. One of the things that he theorizes in that documentary is that what we perceive as God is actually collective consciousness, which is, like, also something that could be described as an aura, as ether, as, you know, as all of these things, that there is a...
Are you glitching?
Sixth element, or sixth sense, right? Oh,
okay, yes, okay.
Yeah, no, I was just making sure. Like, yeah, but that there's, like, a sixth category to our being that we don't, because it's not necessarily quantifiable or measurable by our measurement standards or by what machines that we have, you know, that science just kind of ignores it, but that it still is a part of our being, you know? It's just like how you can feel when someone's angry when they walk into the room before you even turn around and look at them, you know what I mean?
So on point. Yeah, I'm going to bring that up. Okay, so yes, 1,000% agree with you. Price also says that these hauntings, or residual hauntings, are not supernatural, but instead residual energy or memories, and the quote-unquote result of the emotions or other experiences of some person who formerly inhabited the room, much as fingerprints result automatically from our handling of a wine glass or a poker.
Also, another interesting thing about what you're saying right here, time is only linear to us, which is another reason why, sorry, I keep clearing my throat, but that's another reason why the whole time slip theory is so interesting to me, because really, it's all happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's
our perception of time?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is also really funny to think about, because you see those memes where they're like, oh, how come I can't get, like, a 2007 ghost that's like, it's Britney, bitch. But it's like, maybe since everything's happening at the same time and we're just perceiving it this way, but that doesn't mean that that's the way that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, some people in, like, the 15 or 1600s are, like, hearing these, like, Gen Z memes on, like, TikToks and stuff, and they're like, I don't understand.
And
she's a witch. Ah. Yeah, and it's like they walk through a forest and all they hear is like, what you know about going down in the deep, da 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 da, like, yeah. And they're like, ah!
What is this?
So maybe someone is being haunted by your fucking modern ass. You don't know you how don't time know. Works.
That's very true. No, I love it. I love it a lot. And actually, that's something I'm going to bring up, too. I also... It's when I was doing research for this, it also felt somewhat related to the, you know, genetic memory and cellular memory that we were talking about, yeah, which, like, you know.
It's almost like this is a category of fringe science.
Ooh, I know, right? But, like, okay, let's think about it, though. Like, this is a newer scientific discovery that, like, trauma actually physically changes your DNA that they can track.
In the body, physically, yes.
Yeah. And that's very new. And so I feel like it's not that crazy of a jump to be like, okay, we're getting this evidence that it's, you know, it's influencing physically our DNA. So it's not that crazy to think that it would also affect other cells.
Yeah. And, like, here's the crazy thing about humans. First of all, they suck. We suck. Sorry, guys. Hate to break it to you. We're awful.
Hate to break it to you.
We suck. But, you know, we just got access to DNA recently, right? And you're saying, you know, they recently proved this in a study, right? DNA has always been around.
Yeah, exactly. But
DNA
we just didn't know it.
DNA has always been around, you know? And that's another thing where it really gets me when people nowadays, they're like, I don't understand why people are, like, you know, so up in arms about being politically correct or, like, you know, triggering someone and this and that. And I'm just like, hi, hello, we're actually on the cusp of proving that this shit affects you not only in your life physically, but it actually affects you generationally. And that doesn't mean that that hasn't always been
it's
the case.
It's been the case.
Because
it's
it
not
definitely
been dismissed.
Fucking has. Exactly.
Or it's just been dismissed.
Yeah,
yes,
it has.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I just... Anyways.
No, I'm 1,000% with you. Like, 1,000%. So this general idea actually dates back to about 1838, which has the earliest mention of quote-unquote place memory, i.e. the stone tape theory, just without having the stone tape name, right?
Right.
So a lot of my research was... written by very skeptical people, which I'm not gonna lie, bummed me out a little, but you know, it was interesting still. So,
pinch of salt, you know, pinch of salt and everything.
I know, right? So, a lot of my research came from an article by the Skeptical Inquirer, and this article, after like laying out the foundation of what this theory is, asserts that the traces in psychic ether, quote unquote, are not independently observable, making them unmeasurable and a serious drawback for scientific acceptance. They assert that if there was something left behind, we should be able to find traces of it. That age-old argument of, you know, maybe we haven't, for me, it's the age-old argument of maybe we haven't been able to find the traces yet, but that doesn't mean it's not a thing, personally. So, here's a quote. It says, unlike fossils, in which a physical record is preserved as an impression in sediment or seafloor spreading ridges, I'm not going to read all that, it's talking about rocks, the stone
hard
tape
rocks,
idea...
I bet.
Okay, stop it. The stone tape idea relies on emotional, quote-unquote, energy, which is non-material. Emotion is not physically recordable outside of the body because nothing related to emotion leaves the body. Emotional energy, quote-unquote, is a term specific to human experience of feelings. There is nothing to record. However, paranormalists invoke a handy trope around this problem, quote-unquote, quantum. Paranormalists are quite fond of using Einstein's theory of spooky action at a distance, which he used to describe quantum entanglement. They assert that from the laws of thermodynamics that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but the concept is grossly misapplied. There is no evidence that this concept is relatable to human events in the past being replayed in the present. I know. Go ask your resident quantum physicist if he or she has explained ghosts.
Okay, first of all, I want to just dive right back to where you said emotion cannot be measured outside of the body. That is incorrect. So, love the skeptical angle. Personally, I do welcome it because I fully do want to believe in things, but I am 100% a skeptic when I first see something because I want it to be real. Yeah. And I know that sounds backwards, but...
No, but it makes sense.
Yeah, anyways, so if anyone has ever heard of Tom Shadyac, Tom Shadyac is the director of Ace Ventura. Like he also did, like, bunch of fucking... Yeah, no, he's, like, a big Hollywood Shadyac guy.
Shadyac, fuck, what?
LOL. Wow. Swerve right past that. No, but yeah, so I'm sure a lot of you know about Tom Shadyac, but not only from Ace Ventura, but he's done countless other films. And, you know, he actually did this documentary called I Am. And he, you know, he suffered a concussion and then got the, I think it's called CDE. I don't remember specifically, but it's like a concussion disorder where you, you know, you get depression, you have all these other symptoms that last way beyond your concussion. And so that really affected him in his life. And he did this documentary to figure out, you know, like, he really just wanted to focus on, like, what is, you know, what is there to live for? And I don't mean that in a depressing sense. I mean that in, like, an open-minded sense of, like, what can I live for? Like, what is my purpose? And one of the things that they did in that documentary, one of the studies that they did, is about emotions and, like, about your energy. And the energy, like I said before, it's like you can tell when someone's mad when they walk into the room without even turning around to see them. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to watch them walk into the room. You can feel the energy in the room change.
Well, and that's, so my bullet after this part, just because it's related to what you're saying, it says, you know, she claims that there's no scientific way to trace the energy or tension, but, like, how many of us know exactly what the phrase, I could cut the tension in the room with a knife is? You could walk in a room after other people have argued.
And you still feel it.
And you still know. You're like, oh, yep. I don't like this shit. You know? Like,
yeah, so what they did is they put some little electrodes on Mr. Tom Shadyac. And then they put the receiving end or, like, other, you know, electrodes. I didn't conduct the experiment, obviously. Watch the documentary. You might learn something. But they connect it to a petri dish of yogurt, okay? Because yogurt has active cultures in it. And they asked him questions to gauge his emotion and what his reaction was neurologically. And so they'll ask him, like, you know, how do you feel about your dog? Great response. Loves his dog. I mean, this is just an example. You have to go and watch it to see specifically. But one that they did ask...
What is this called?
I am. And then they ask him about his divorce. And immediately it spikes. But here's the thing. The yogurt spikes too. Every emotion that he felt, the yogurt mimicked that same emotion. And that has always stuck with me. Honestly, like, I saw that, and that scenario of him with the yogurt has always stuck with me because I didn't really like yogurt before then, and now every time I eat yogurt, I try to think really happy thoughts and think about how happy I'm feeling and think about all my happiest memories, so that way the yogurt is happy with me when I'm eating it. And I know that sounds crazy, but, like, they literally proved with science that yogurt can legitimately feel what you are feeling. So, you know, I think that that's really interesting. They're like, oh, there's no way to measure emotions. Yeah, there fucking is, actually. There is a way to measure emotions palpably either through electromagnetic currency or which I'm get like, you know, I it's mean, like, think about your heart and your pulse.
Yeah, heart rate.
That gives off an electromagnetic fucking field, bitch. Like, it's not just for ghosts. Like, that happens for the living.
Well, and realistically, even if there wasn't a way to measure that or measure the tension in a room after an argument, does that mean it's not real? I mean, that's like, okay, remember...
Let me tell you, you leave an open thing of yogurt in that room, that yogurt is going to be fucked up. It's going to be thinking about all kinds of shit.
No, like, okay, but then there's another example of on Mythbusters, they did the
thing to see if plants responded to you singing to them and talking nicely
exactly.
to them.
Exactly, and they did.
Mm-hmm. And the plants that had positive emotions responded more positively than the plants that were yelled at.
Because it's not just what you say. It's the feeling. How you fucking say it. Mm-hmm. So how about fuck everybody who likes to fucking pigeonhole women into that stupid fucking box where they're like, oh, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. No, like, literally, scientifically, actually, yeah. It's been proven. So, you're welcome.
Go fuck yourself.
And that also. Not oh my gently. God, there's actually a... Not gently. There's actually a bit I heard recently about that, about how when you, hold a door open. God, I wish I could remember who it was. But about how if you hold a door open for somebody and they don't say thank you and you're like, you're welcome. That's not what they hear. Because they hear, obviously, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Subtext is everything. You know, exactly how you say something, how you, you know, carry yourself. It all matters and it's all palpable. And, you know, these are just examples of studies and how people have proven that, you know, because it's like when you're giving off a positive electromagnetic field, that's a place to thrive. You know, it's like the plants grow better because it's a safe environment. They know they're being cared for. Mm-hmm. They're beings just like we are. If yogurt knows exactly what I'm feeling, you're telling me that my fucking plants can't? Yeah. Goodbye.
So in this article, too, they reference a book called In the Secret Language of Stone by chemist Don Robbins. And he explains the capture and storage of memories in stone. Okay.
Interesting.
He says the defects in the crystal lattice of the minerals, so basically the way that the atoms are arranged to make up the
like mineral. Stone structure.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you know what I mean then, because yeah, it's basically the way that the structure is.
Right.
The space between atoms can hold electrical forces or allow for reservoirs of energy is what the term is used. Oh, no, wait. Or a quote-unquote vortex of energy at the heart of the crystal.
Interesting.
And this is where he proposes that the memory traces can be stored and then later accessed by somebody who is sensitive to these memories.
So does this mean if I die a horrific death while holding this rock, I'll haunt this rock?
One can only hope.
Can only hope. Jesus Christ, Sarah.
What else am I supposed to say?
What else am I supposed to say? Hey, maybe don't die a horrific death, babe. Like,
I mean, we don't know what's in the cards.
She's over here like, I mean, if you're meant to be struck by lightning to death, can't do anything to stop that.
That's accurate, unfortunately. This article, the conclusion from this article is, I'm going to read this quote, okay? The explosion of amateur ghost hunting groups around the year 2000 and continuing even today has placed the stone tape theory into the paranormal patois. Oh, using big words. Has placed the stone tape theory into the paranormal patois. It is frequently noted on paranormal investigation websites as a quote-unquote scientific theory and one that has some evidentiary support. As I've documented here, it doesn't have empirical support. Professional parapsychologists and the Society of Psychical Research, it's the SPR in this, still consider to be the most foremost investigation body of paranormal claims, do not rely on it, and hardly even mention the term in their professional literature. Cornell reiterated that the stone tape theory still is unconfirmed with no plausible mechanism, and the theory has not been developed any further. Murdy, which I'm assuming is one of the scientists I mentioned, Murdy declared it was a hypothesis yet to be tested, even though we have been talking about this general concept for over a century, and we are no closer to having it make sense, and it remains an unsupported but appealing and convenient notion to apply in paranormal discussions with the public. One more quote. The stone tape theory does not make sense in whichever context it is implemented. Not only do we still not have a reasonable mechanism to record, store, and retrieve traces, but there remain many vexing questions about the idea. Why is it just one event recorded, not a jumble of events? Why does the recording, quote-unquote, last for decades or centuries instead of getting overwritten? Why do certain places have place memories? It's disingenuous of paranormal researchers to utilize the stone tape theory as an explanation or even to suggest it because it sounds sciencey. Okay, so here's my rebuttal to all of that.
Negativity. Yeah, because I'm over here like, this is bullshit. And yes, I know. Obviously it's like, anyways, I'm going to let you go ahead.
My rebuttal. Stop being such a hater.
Yeah. Okay?
Just because we can't prove it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, okay? And personally, my extensive knowledge of the paranormal and ghost world, I actually do think stuff gets rewritten because that's why there's no tales of ghosts from, like, the year fucking one or Neanderthal battles, you know what I mean? Unlike usually in places that are considered haunted from, like, when we used to watch Ghost Hunters a lot,
mm-hmm.
The places that were haunted by ghosts that were older, like hundreds of years old, generally seem to have less activity than the ones with ghosts that were supposed to be more recent. Personally, right. That's what I saw.
Right.
So another thing that I was thinking about when I was writing these notes is like, okay, let's think about like, you know, the 1500s. I think that's far enough back.
Mm-hmm.
If someone described to them a device in which they could use light to record an image on a piece of paper exactly and develop it in chemicals multiple times, do you think somebody would believe them? No. I'm talking about photography. But, yeah. Like, if you think about photography in the way that it, like, sounds kind of magical, to be honest.
That's the annoying thing to me about people, man. It's like, oh, well, science hasn't proven it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So you want to be like those dudes in, like, whatever the fuck century Galileo was in?
Yeah,
who that were was like, nobody has proven it. And he's like, hi, I'm here literally proving it. And like, I'm here literally telling you. And they're like, well, we think maybe you're a witch because we're tripping. Like, And also, another thing about that, first of all, I just want to, like, send them a blockbuster copy of Tom Shady X documentary, because to me, again, that yogurt experiment really opened my mind to so many different things. You're telling me that, oh, a yogurt can feel what I'm feeling in the moment right now, but a rock can't feel what I'm feeling hundreds of years from now if I held it in my hand and died while holding it, and yet for some reason that would not have any kind of effect on it. Okay, rude. Second of all, totally random, but you said something about the Neanderthals and I was like, oh my god, I don't know if anyone's ever thought about this, but if they have, I want to know and I want to meet them and know them. Guys, animals die traumatically all the time. Obviously at the hands of humans, and that sucks. But I mean, like, in the wilderness, they're literally living to survive.
Yeah.
Do you think animals see ghosts of other animals?
Well, you know, there's often tales of, like, ghost cats. People talk about ghost cats and ghost dogs all the time.
Ghost cats and dogs, that's what I'm saying. And also, I feel like it depends on, like, the frequency at which you can perceive things.
Yeah,
because, exactly. Like, kids can see and perceive as babies, you know, and children, and also dogs can, you know, they, and cats, like, they react to things that we can't see or feel, first of all, but also, I'm just thinking of, like, you know, like a herd of elephant, you know what I mean? They're walking the same migrational pattern, let's say, and they have been for over 60 or 70 years, you know, and they've lost family members on that migrational pattern, you know, and same with octopi, you know, or octopuses.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just said that.
I know, octopuses. You did just say that.
Anyways, same with octopuses, you know, they're very highly intelligent beings, you know. Do you think that maybe at some point a fish swims across and thinks that it sees an octopus, but it's not there?
It's a ghost.
Why do we think that we are so so amazing that we are the only ones that can perceive beings of our species that may not be there. Because let me tell you, it's like it's very easy to discount ghosts or paranormal activity when you have not experienced it. When you've experienced something that you cannot explain and it has physically touched you, like that is an eye opener, I will say that. That's a little mind opener as well, you know?
Okay, so another thing that, you know, is mentioned is like, okay, well, how do you explain people seeing residual hauntings without knowing, like, they don't know that there's the residual haunting, or they don't believe in ghosts and blah, blah, blah. And the response was, well, you can't verify any of the accounts. And I'm like...
But I also feel like with residual haunts specifically...
Why did I bring that up?
What did you just say before that?
I was talking about...
Because the residual haunts, they're like, you know, why would that be something that is held on to? You know, like in the stone tape theory, like why does that place hold on to it? Okay, well, in modern times, what we're all living in the last few generations, we move around a lot. We get to travel, we get to do things. And when it comes back to these residual type haunts in like that are potentially from a century or 2 centuries or 3 centuries ago, they probably literally just existed on this path. Probably did not go anywhere else. Probably didn't have anything else to look forward to. Didn't have any other fucking vacations. Didn't have any other fucking path for their lives. We get to live our lives all over the place. Even with the pandemic, how many people fucking were traveling this year? How many people? I mean, I still was in the car taking you back to New Mexico. It's like we still made it happen safely. We were not around anybody.
Yes,
safely. You know, and it's like... So that's another interesting angle to me is like it's easy to discount that now in these times, but when you think about how people actually were living their life at the time when this person might have been there.
Yeah.
Very different experience. Yeah,
you're right. They spent their whole lives, generally speaking, in like one location. Mm-hmm. Unless they were like super nomadic. And wasn't just their whole lives, but it was like their ancestors and their descendants also spent the same their lives in the same place. But yeah, that's just one thing that they're like, well, we can't verify any of those accounts. And I'm like, you also can't verify, like, I don't know, like I said, like witness statements and stuff like that, unless you fucking have literal evidence with it, like realistically.
But what's interesting also to me about science in this vein, you know, of research, and It's just one of those weird, cloudy, murky categories of science, but I generally feel like people who are approaching it from a scientific perspective is they're coming to discount it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what
If you're approaching it from a scientific perspective, you need to come to prove it. Because you're
with
not...
With a blank slate, not or, with the, like, or that. I'm going to completely discount it. Let me see how I can do it.
That's what I'm saying is, like, I would be so interested to see a scientist or a psychical, you know, researcher approach it from the yogurt theory angle and then try to measure how emotions affect other things. Yes, so we can measure how it affects living cultures and how it affects plants. Let's measure how it affects other things. Let's measure how long these effects last.
Yep.
Let's go from this angle. Don't go directly to sit in a room, shut all the lights off, and fucking have an EMF recorder. Anyone can do that, okay? That's not going to prove anything.
Exactly. And, like, it's... To me, a lot of these experiments or, like, these articles, it's like, well, I'm going to go through the motions because this can't be real. It's taboo for it to be real. You know what I mean?
It's considered
hokey. It's considered, you know, it's laughed at instead of...
But your description of photography is, like, such a great example of, like, yeah, okay, there's a lot of things that exist now that we once as a human race thought was, like, hokey or, like, witchcraft or not fucking real. Like, how about we open our minds a little bit?
How about this, though? Let's think about this one. This is my favorite example that I thought of while I was writing my notes. Let's all think back to high school... algebra, maybe? You know? How many of us had a teacher that said, hey, you guys need to learn this because you're not going to be walking around with a calculator in your pocket?
Also, how many of us... Who the fuck is using algebra right now who's, like, not a mathematician?
That's besides the point. The point is, everybody had that teacher who was like, you guys need to be better about this because you're not going to be able to have a calculator with you at all times.
Exactly.
Bitch, welcome guess what I had with me at all times? An actual tiny computer with a calculator in it and one that can do, like, equations and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
They couldn't foresee that and they couldn't fathom that kind of reality.
Fucking right, dude. And exactly. That's even, they couldn't and that's, fathom that reality. That's one of my favorite lines from you now.
Thank you. They couldn't fathom that reality even with the inventions at the time of, like, the, you know, there were cell phones that were, you know, had snake and shit on them, or like the Palm Pilots and stuff. So there were already inventions that were handheld that could have these capabilities, and they're like, no, it's still not going to be a thing. You're going to need to know this, you know? So anyways, side note, I do, like, I'm all for skeptics, but I just wish it wasn't coming from a, I'm going to be super condescending and negative and completely shut it down. Regardless, you know what I mean?
Well, and also, part of the frustration that I have is, like, you know, how do I know about this yogurt experiment? And someone who, like, went to school for science is gonna write an article about how this shit, the immediate setup was, to me, was obviously the emotions are not measurable in science. The fuck they are. How do I know that? And you don't. Is my question. It's because you're approaching it with an attitude of there's never any way that this could fucking be possible.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing. There's no way it could exist.
Exactly.
There's no way that it's real. Yep. That's where I feel like some of these skeptics, you know, they have this attitude because the alternative is too scary for them. That's my perception. I mean, realistically, though.
No, I completely understand what you're saying. I'm just rolling my eyes because I'm just like, it's grow just
up. Yeah.
Well, no, yes, that, but it's also so funny, like the weight, you know, and the amount of stock that we give these people because they're scientists.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know that science is real. I'm not saying science isn't real, but I'm also saying that, like, it's the same thing when I talk to people about going to counseling. I'm like, okay, you have to remember that these people, they are people, just like you and me. They may have gone to school for this, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be the right fit for you. That doesn't mean that they weren't super religious growing up. You know, it's like everybody has their influences.
Anyways, so, yes, this whole super ultra negative perspective was, like, definitely slightly, and by slightly, I mean a lot, irking me when I was doing my research. I was, like, typing angrily on my computer. Yeah, exactly. So this writer, I think it's Sharon A. Hill, she wrote the article for the Skeptical Inquirer. She also had this article up on her website, and then she also has this other site called Spooky Geology. Mm-hmm. So she talks about psychometry in geology. Psychometry is the idea that everything holds an essence or a trace of influence or memory of its history, and certain people are sensitive enough to see and sense its history. Sounds pretty similar to the stone tape theory. The idea originated from Joseph Rhodes Buchanan and one of his proteges slash disciples, William Denton, who conducted experiments on psychometry. William Denton was definitely a spiritualist, and in his experiments, he references early photography, that's where I got this example, as an early related example. Like, who would have thought that you could record images, i.e. memories, in that way, before photography was invented?
And how obsessed are we with cameras now, everybody? Come on, everybody, all of our phones have all the newest fucking cameras, and I don't know about you, but I'm obsessed with them.
I know.
I'm like, why would I ever buy another camera?
However, his experiments were probably flawed, because his wife and his wife or sister would hold the objects and tell a colorful narrative that was somewhat subjective and untestable with the objects, okay? So, there's this other site that references the Skeptical Inquirer's article, and it's called theghostinmytimemachine.com.
Ooh.
They say that there's a difference between the stone tape theory and the residual haunt. Oftentimes, people will use both terms interchangeably. However, the stone tape theory is the method in which the energies are recorded and how the residual haunt could happen, while the residual haunting is the actual paranormal phenomena.
Mm.
So, like, the stone tape theory is the how, and the residual haunt is the, like, end result product. You know what I mean? So this website also defined residual hauntings characterized not by the interactions between the entity and a human, but by a distinct lack of interactions, i.e., if something replays itself, like a scene replays itself repetitively, regardless of who is there or what is recurring, and the interactions don't change no matter what the sequence, or, like, what's going on around it. Mm-hmm. It's more like a movie clip, like, replaying itself over and over again, right?
Right, yeah.
A quote here says, no matter what triggers the apparition's appearance, it won't acknowledge anyone who might be watching. It won't even be aware that anyone is watching in the first place. It's more an echo of the past.
Right.
The energy generation by trauma, emotional, or tragic events imprints on nearby physical objects, typically the building or stone mentioned in the name of the theory, in much the same way that the magnetic tape recording imprints data on strips of magnetic tape. Okay?
Hmm. It's a good example.
Right? It's also noted that some people think that residual hauntings are actually the most common type of haunting, which is interesting. So if you believe in residual hauntings, you probably believe in the stone tape theory, even if you didn't know it by name, which was me.
Right. Yeah. Because
I didn't even know it had a name. And so once I heard that, I was like, oh, I definitely want to research that more.
Yeah.
I also find it interesting that residual hauntings are supposed to be the most common type of haunting, because I feel like that sort of plays into the idea of time slips more as well.
See, it really does, and I was just thinking, like, we need a parapsychical Craig Foster. We need someone to go to a place that is notorious for residual haunts and sit there every day for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I want to conduct all experiments from now on. Personally, I don't have the time because no one will fund that for me, and I will die of starvation. No, I just mean being in the same place every day.
Yeah.
Being the same place at the same time every day. And you experience all of the different facets of that. And I think that is truly the only way that you could quantify what is happening in that space. You'd have to, it would have to be years, honestly. Mm-hmm. But go to the most haunted place. And, okay, yeah, you're recording the baseline. The baseline is what you see on, like, ghost hunting shows. The noises, the sounds, the EMFs, all of that. Record the baseline. Do a little background research into the electrical or any other thing, the copper pipes, any kind of thing that could mess that up or could have an effect on that, all right? Cover that basis. That's the fucking skimming the surface, all right? Next, you need to find a way to figure out how to measure electronically what is happening in that space. And it's not just EMF readers.
Heat sensors, like...
It's my challenge to all the skeptics. Go out there and spend 4 years doing research and then come talk to me.
But they're not going to do that because they don't believe in it. And also, it's not going to get them money. Because that's the other thing that drives these experiments, is funding.
Well, that's the thing that drives the world.
I mean, that's very true. That stuff about the stone tape theory, you know, from the ghostmytimemachine.com, that was part of what they classified as a quote-unquote believer's argument, okay? Mm-hmm. On the same site, they're saying they posted below it a quote-unquote skeptic's argument. So, much the same as the spooky geology site, they're like, well, there's no way to prove or track the data stored in this theory.
Such a fucking cop-out.
I know. Here's a quote. The simple, indisputable truth is that there's no method, procedure, apparatus, or gadget in existence that is capable of recording the data involved in a residual haunting on stone, let alone recording it on said stone in a form which can be replayed over and over like some home video or your favorite song.
Fucking challenge accepted, folks. Can someone please?
My bullet underneath was like, yeah, man, we get it. You don't want to believe in things. Like, bravo.
I know,
you're right? You're so cool for being such a skeptic. Jesus Christ. And, yeah, it's just, okay, whatever. Sure, there's not one yet, but who knows?
Wait, so was the skeptic you were talking to Jesus Christ?
He's probably also very skeptical of Jesus Christ.
I feel like Jesus would be down. Listen,
this guy would be skeptical of Jesus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We won't get into religion.
Nope, sure won't. So, some famous examples of residual type hauntings is Gettysburg, The Battle of Gettysburg was the largest battle of the American Civil War and had the largest number of casualties during the war. There are definitely reports of entire ghost battles replaying out like a clip. Okay?
That's terrifying, by the way.
I know. There's also a report of Anne Boleyn's ghost haunting the Tower of London when she was jailed there and awaiting her death. And instead of, like, responding to people around her, she's just continually doing the same thing and walking up and down the corridors and stuff like that. Mm. And then, like, honestly, there's quite a few, like, ghost hunters where, like, you know, like, the one legs that were walking, it was just like, yep, same dude walking the same. You know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like...
Yeah, but there was also the one on Ghost Nation where the baby gets up in the middle of the night, and then they remembered that the door that they had furniture in front of was actually part of the house originally, and so they were like, oh, maybe that's their path they're walking, and that's what I was kind of touching on earlier. It was like, yeah, people literally just lived in one house and did the same thing all the time.
Every fucking day for their whole goddamn life.
Yeah, that was what life used to be, guys.
Yep. Also, I remember, like... It was shortly after we moved to Florida, I read my very first ghost story. It was a Celtic ghost in, like, somewhere in England. They were in, like, an old cottage, or, like, an old thatch roof house.
Yeah.
And the experience of the haunting in this house was that it was scenes replaying out like a movie. It was, like, these traumatic scenes.
Yeah.
And it was one of the things that slowly got me more interested and comfortable with the idea of ghost stories.
Wow. You know what just hit me? So I told you about that exhibit that I saw at the MoCA, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this exhibit. It's called Into the Light. It's at the MoCA. In the Light of a Shadow by Glenn Kino. It's on view through September 5th of 2022, and it is in it's in Building 5, and it's in a huge space. Oh my God, these images are so gorgeous. But when you were just saying that about residual haunts, and it kind of got me thinking, you know, this artwork basically has suspended pieces of rock or stone and pieces of wood and twigs and such, and then it has photographs kind of taped to them. But the way that they use light when you're walking through, because it's kind of like an interactive piece.
Yeah.
So as you're walking through it, the light projects onto it. And what made me think of that is, like, you know, you perceive, so when you're in the room with it before this, like, viewing starts, because obviously it happens, like, at a certain point, I think it's, like, at the fifth minute of, like, every hour, it'll happen, and it's, like, 30 minutes long, okay? But when you walk into the room, what you see is regular stones, rocks, pieces of wood, twigs, hanging on wires, suspended from the ceiling. You don't really understand what you're looking at. When you walk through it, the way that the light projects onto it and projects out the shadows and all of these, you know, visuals, it becomes something completely different. And honestly, I don't think I've ever been that emotionally moved by art before. Ooh. And I go to a lot of museums, and I do love doing that. Yes, and I very much appreciate the art world. I do like going to museums and trying to broaden my horizons from time to time. But that, you know, concept basically of just that one, it's your perspective, you know what I mean? And it's like you're, the light, the way that the light perspective is, it completely changes the scene. It changes the mood. It changes everything about your perception of what is happening. And that is the same when it comes to like this sort of stone tape theory. It's like, yeah, you can look at it and be like, there's just a stone staircase. There's nothing special about it. Okay. But maybe if you saw it in a different way, or you use some kind of measuring tool to gain some separate information out of that, you would see another side to something. Just because you're looking at it from one perspective does not mean that there are not the other perspectives there to offer. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, it's 100% true. So, yeah. And it's funny because that's my approach to photography as well. It's like, you know, I started off and I really liked photography and I had fun taking pictures of, like, cool things. But as I got further, like, I really became enamored with the idea that, like, lighting completely changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and like
something so simple with like light and shadow can change the emotion in a picture.
The whole emotion.
So and simple.
And, like, lighting and specific weather and just, you know, cropping it to a certain composition can also change the scene so much that you don't even feel like you're in that place anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it can completely transport you.
That's exactly how I felt when I went through this exhibit. So this is In the Light of a Shadow is inspired by the connection between protests across the globe. So it is in connection to, like, all, you know, from, like, Bloody Sunday, Black Lives Matter, Occupy, Tiananmen Square, you know, all of these different, you know, uprisings that are happening. And it's also in a football field-sized gallery. That's Building 5. Yeah, so if anyone's in the Northeast area, fucking go check it out, or at least look it up on their website, because it's sick. It's really, really amazing. But, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the stone tape theory.
That was incredibly interesting, honestly. Was it? Yeah. Yeah, it really was.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah. No, it's very interesting. I really do. It's always on the cusp. Things on the cusp just drive me crazy because I love it, like, you know?
It's right there.
Just like you say, you can't prove it, but, did you try?
Yeah.
Maybe try next time.
So yeah, we will be back with part two, as per usual. If you enjoy listening to us, please tell us you enjoy listening to us by rating and reviewing our podcast. We would love to hear from you guys so much.
We would just really appreciate it, and we still love you anyways, but it would just really fucking knock our socks right the fuck off. And let me tell you, it's hot. You want our socks to be off.
Our mismatched socks.
Her mismatched socks. I am an adult person, and Excuse me. The least I can do in my adult life is match my socks. Because I can't do anything else.
Okay. Yeah.
You're much more skilled and capable than I am, is what I'm saying.
I don't know about that. Hey. But I just pretend, you know, that's the key to success, right?
I'm a 19-year-old trapped in a 29-year-old's body. What can I say?
Oh my God, are you 29?
But who can tell? Am I right?
Nobody can tell. I keep thinking you're like 27.
Oh, I love that for me. That's nice.
Yep.
What's fun for me getting older is I like remember all the people that I was friends with when I was like 19, and I'm like, oh, you're old now.
Right? Right?
That's all I have left in life. I love you all.
You know, I had a 22-year-old call me old today, and I was like, I feel like that says more about your fear of being in your 30s than it does about me actually being
100%.
Old.
100%.
Because I'm not old, actually.
No, you're not. You're like, what? You're,
Fuck you.
Why don't you just tell me how old you are?
Never.
All right, excuse me. It's not like I have a calculator in my pocket or anything. I know, right?
You know, it's not also, like I can do this simple math. Also, while she's trying to calculate my age, which, you know, yay. She should know this, to be honest with you.
It's more of like also, a double checking. You're 32. You're going to be 32 this year. You're 31. We're so close in age.
I know. I always forget that.
I know.
Like, I know it, but then I forget it. I don't know why.
Yeah, because I'm always like your little shithead. I'm sorry, your little sister.
You got way too much joy out of doing that. Little face just lit up. But yeah, also be sure to keep an eye on social media. We will be trying to post more often. Now that we're back on vacation, I have...
We're back from vacation. We're not going back on vacation for a while. Oh, God, all right? That one was long overdue.
Yeah. but yeah, keep an eye on social media. We're on Instagram at...
Wonderlust.pod.
There we go. Thank you.
We're on Twitter, allegedly, but, you know, tweet us and maybe we'll find it one day. And then you can also...
a time capsule.
Something. It's an art installation. Bam.
Make sure you visit our website, though, at thewonderlustpodcast.com. There's a contact form if you want to get in touch with us there. Or you could also email us at thewonderlustpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you wanted to find us on Instagram, some of us are going to be brand new to Instagram this week. Not really, but I started my Instagram over, so that counts, right?
Yes.
So you can find me, Emily Ray, at Ultraviolet Ray, spelled R-E-I-H, because I'm fucking cool.
I was going to say, because she's special.
That is the correct answer. And then you can also find Sarah.
You can go to my Instagram and see the other creative ventures I have in photography at Sarah E. Rogers. Photo.
That's and that is spelled S-A-R-A-I.
Oh, wow.
R-O-G-E-R-S. Photo. P-H-O-T-O.
Now I kind of want to change. Anyways.
If you find us on there and you figure it out, then maybe we like, might change our shit. You guys. But, like yes, if you want us, that's where we are. And we have issues with social media, which I don't really know why, but it's like traumatic either. For both of us to deal with.
It's really difficult. But we're, you know what? We're learning and growing together collectively.
Exactly. 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 You know, it's like sometimes you just have to face your fears head on and we have to apply them directly to the forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kills me that there's an entire generation of people now that don't know what head on was. Like, what the fuck? Is? Are they still in business? Head on, applied directly to the forehead. Where do you apply? People also ask, where do you apply head on? Do they still make head-on for headaches?
They were ridiculous.
Wow.
So on that note, we will leave you guys and talk to you again later this week.
Yeah. Because
you just can't get enough of us now that you were without us for a whole week.
I know. It must have been really rough. And we are here forever now. Always. Our goal in life is to have a residual haunt wherever we are. So we are really grinding in these paths.
Yes.
Yeah. Just put my hands on the wall and go, it's probably why the ghosts here don't like me so much. Because they're like, excuse me, we were here before you, actually.
Like, please don't mess with our vibe, okay?
Yeah. Hey, wanderers.
It's time for us to wander off.
Blub, 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 blub.
All right, clippity clap.
Clippity clap.